Thank you, choir, worship team. Outstanding job, and just appreciate your leadership. Matthew chapter 6 this morning. There is a yellow handout that I would encourage you to use today if you are even closely a note-taking person. Worship and prayer. We're going to be looking at Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer. You'll notice on the front page where the title of the sermon is in the box that has the Lord's Prayer, that there is underneath the box something called Before the Sermon. And I want us to do two things before this sermon begins. I believe it's absolutely essential for what we're about to experience this morning as we continue to honor the Lord's presence and go by His Spirit. First, you know that this is a year of discipleship for us at Cornerstone. We want to make Jesus the center, the cornerstone of our life. And we have said that that begins by worshiping faithfully. 2 weeks ago, we began this sermon series, and I shared a definition of worship that I think is very important. So under number one, I'm going to ask you to write out the definition one more time, because I want it to become embedded in your heart. To worship is to seek to worship. To seek, know, and reflect. To seek, know, and reflect the ultimate greatness of God. I want you to really hold on to that. To worship God is to want to know Him. Pastor Brandon's sermon, to chase after Him. To seek Him. To know Him. 2 weeks ago, we talked about to bend. As I see who He is, I begin to change and reflect. The ultimate, there is no greater than God. So, as we talk about worship and prayer this morning, I want you to have that definition in mind. And second, and even more importantly, and I know sometimes we might gloss over a writing assignment, but I'm going to give you one this morning. I'm praying you'll do it. I'd like you to complete the two sentences. The first one is this: God, I really need, and then you fill in the rest. I want you to take a moment, literally as long as you're comfortable writing it out. God, I need, and I'm encouraging you to write out that thing that's on your heart before God. And I'm just encouraging, I'm going to reference it a few times in the sermon, so really come to a conclusion, Lord, I know what I need. Lord, I know, I've been praying about this. And then the second sentence is this: God, please help. And you finish the sentence. First one's about you and your family. God, I need. The second sentence, the second prayer request: God, please help. And think of somebody else that's dear on your heart. Some situation. I want you to see in this message that the Bible teaches that unless you worship with your prayer, you will not understand the answers to the very things you just wrote down. I'm going to say it again. That without worship in your life and in your prayer time, you will not be able to recognize the very answers to what you are writing down that's so passionately in your heart. Making Jesus a center, worshiping faithfully. We've looked at upward, inward, and today we do withward. And there are a million ways I could go about talking about what it is for us as a congregation to worship God faithfully. But I have to use my one sermon at this point to talk about the prayer that you and I pray almost every week, the Lord's Prayer. And to call you to worship in it. Some of you say, well, Pastor Sean, this is a worship series. Why are you preaching on prayer? And I would say to you that according to the Lord's Prayer, worship and prayer are two sides of the same coin. there are lots of people that pray, but there are not as many people who pray powerfully. There are lots of people who say desperate prayers, but there are fewer people who pray victorious prayers. And the very Lord's Prayer that you and I say almost every week is very clear that our overcoming prayer, and prayer that not only is a complaining, desperation, half-hearted, but a prayer that has power and begins to fill us with an overcoming work and answer from the Lord. It begins with, "Our Father who art in heaven." What's the first instruction? "Hallowed be thy name." It begins in worship. How many of us who say, "Well, I pray and it hits the ceiling. I kind of pray, I don't feel any different." To worship as we pray and to begin in worship is to find God's answers to three very important things. It's all laid out here. I'll go over it. It's to find the issue to your stress, the answer to your stress, the answer to your condemnation, and the answer to your fear. But I will submit to you this morning that without worship in your prayers, you will say, "I prayed and I'm still just as stressed. I prayed and I feel just as guilty. I prayed and I'm still in fear about what's about to happen in my life." It's all here, I'd say in black and white, but it's actually red and white. Matthew chapter 6. Listen in a fresh way to what you are so familiar with. Verse 9. "This then is how you should pray." Pretty straightforward, right? "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And then you'll notice the footnote. "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." And all the church said, "Amen." What is the first instruction Jesus gives us in praying? You know, it's interesting. We don't usually go around using the word hallowed, right? We don't use that word a lot. That's an old English word. And even though it's an old English word, the interpreters for the NIV have chosen to keep the word and not try to substitute it with a more current word. Why? Because there is no accurate replacement for that word. I don't know if you've ever thought of what it means to hallow something. It means, and I'm going to give you a definition, to treat as sacred, and here's a word you've heard before, and as ultimate. To treat as sacred and ultimate. When I hallow something, what I do is I treat it as holy and as the ultimate thing in my life. And Jesus says, this is how you and I should pray. The first thing we should do in our prayer is hallow his name. We should begin our prayers not based on us, but based on him. That is the beginning of right prayer. And we should pray in the beginning, "My Father that's in heaven, I want to worship you. I want to seek, know, and reflect your ultimate greatness. There is nothing greater than your love. And God, as I do this, I can't help but pray the next verse. Would somebody else know the greatness that you are? God, I've got so many things I need to talk to you about. I've got so much going on in my family. I've got so much going on in my health. I've got so much going on in my finances or in my relationships. But God, as I begin to come to you with all of that, I begin to hallow you. And as I begin to do that, my prayer changes. You know, I could pray, that, gosh, I wish my boss would change his attitude. And all the people that work at Cornerstone say, amen. But you know what? Maybe what I should really pray is, God, I pray my boss would know you. I can be in all sorts of stress and dilemma about the elections, and I'm praying for this person to be elected and that bill to pass and that, and all that's great. But maybe as I begin to worship you, maybe the first thing I need to pray is, God, I pray that my leaders would know you. I pray they would see you. I pray that they would hallow your name and hallow your ways. Maybe that's my first prayer I need to pray. But God, I've got such a list of all these things, but maybe the thing I need to do for my family members that I wish they would change this and this person would finally get this right and all that. Maybe instead of praying all those complaining prayers, maybe the first thing I need to pray is, God, would they know you? Would they come to worship you? That's my first prayer. Jesus says that the way I begin to deal with life, and when I talk about prayer, I'm talking about dealing with life. When I need to deal with life, the first thing I need to do is hallow His name. I begin to seek and to know and reflect His greatness, and it begins to reflect my very first priority and all the things that I care about. Notice that in light of this first instruction, I'm on the outline there. We are to begin to deal with life by first in prayer to hallow His name. Then in light of that first instruction to worship Him, then we are to ask for what? Our daily bread, for forgiveness, and for direction in life. The next three verses, 11, 12, and 13. God, as I begin to hallow your name, as I begin to come and first and foremost start with you and not me, Lord, I then want to ask for my provision in life. And I want to ask for my relationships in life, including my own. And then I want to ask about my future and my direction in life. But God, it's all got to start with you. You'll see the next box there. Stop and realize what Jesus is saying. And I hope that you'll hear this morning. Until we see God for who He really is, until we see God for who He really is, we will not see anything else for what it is. Until we see God for who He really is, we will not see anything else for what it truly is. We've been trying to give you real vivid word pictures for worship because worship entails so much. 2 weeks ago, I talked about bending, and I gave the example of having to get to a prayer meeting, but I felt like the Lord was telling me to spend a moment to let my neighbor know that I was praying for my neighbor. And so then what I did was I bent a little bit. You know, I did it God's way instead of being stiff-necked and stubborn. In addition to that, Pastor Brandon last week talked about chasing after God, to seek Him with all your heart, to be desperate to find Him. And I want to give you a word today about worship prayer, about why worship is so vital for prayer. It's a word that begins with an F, and the word is focus. That there is a focus God calls us to. That before we talk about petition, confession, and direction, which are what the next three verses, 11, 12, and 13, are about. How I see the world, how I see myself, how I see my future. We'll get to all those. But the first thing I need to do is make sure my focus is correct. I want to give you a real practical idea of that. There it is. You know, you can have a really good camera, but it's all about what you choose to look at through this little hole right here, right? This little box. Yeah, a little there. Smile. No, don't be in pain. Smile. Okay, there you go. All right. Now, you know, when my focus is wrong in prayer, when I don't see God for who He really is, I tend to see everything else wrong too. Because my focus is not starting in the right place. So let me give you an example. Let's say in my life, I'm really focused on how everybody around me is letting me down and abandoning me. It's kind of honestly the thing I talk about most. And I've got that focus and I've got that belief that everybody will leave me alone and will abandon me and not be aware. Okay? Here I am with that focus in this church service, right? And so now I'm going to, with my heart, take a picture of this church service. Here we go. All right. I did it. I was at church. They're all real pictures of what happened in church service today. But you know what? I didn't see anybody else in the service, did I? I didn't see anybody else. Because why? Because I began with myself and how I feel and what's going on. And so my focus, all these people are here and all I do is take pictures over here. You know what? You can walk through your workplace, you can walk through church today with that kind of focus, and somebody during the service came up and asked you how you were doing. And you just took it as shallow, you know, churchiness. Someone else reminded you, or someone else was courteous to you, and you know what? Your focus, you didn't even see it. You walked out this door and you say, nobody here cares about me. Because how you focus is what you see. I'll give you another example. I really should pick on someone in the back row, shouldn't I? Not the front row. They're already paying the price. All right. I play basketball. Josh, you okay? You got your wallet on you? Your wallet? Okay, we're taking an extra offering. No, I'm teasing. Would you stand real quick for me? All right. Can you grab your wallet and put it in one of the two of your hands? All right. Here and here. Just, yeah, one hand here, one hand here. All right. God, I need provision, but you know what? You know what? I never get what I want. It never works out. All right. Yep. That's what I see. Forget this right over here. No, I'm just going to take pictures right here. You know, what I can do in my life is the way I see and trust the Lord. God can be working provision. There could be an answer. I'm sure there's lots of money in there. Josh is like, you have more faith than I do. They're getting married, by the way, Tia and Josh. Doing their wedding in New Jersey. Can't wait. But all I see is what's not in this hand. Because my focus is wrong. Thanks, Josh. You know, I can be someone who always assumes that people are always going to let me down. I just see right past them. I just see right over them. How I focus is how I see. And when I don't begin in prayer with my Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. When I don't begin there, I will not see anything else I'm about to pray about right. Now I want you to walk through these verses. Verse 11. Verse 11 says, give us today our daily bread. That's petition. How I see the world around me. I want to get real specific with you. It's your stress. It's everything you're stressed about. How am I going to do this? This world around me, that's stressing me out. Okay? What's your daily bread? What do you pray? God, I've got to have this. You've got to do this, God. You know what Jesus shows us through this passage? That whatever you hallow, that's what you've got to have. So if I can't begin my prayer with God more than anything else, I want you, then I don't have the right prayer when it comes to God. I really need this. Now, I want you to look at this in Scripture. Philippians chapter 4 should be coming up. Philippians chapter 4 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in your own thoughts and perspective. No, in Christ Jesus, and only in Christ Jesus. That promise does not apply outside of Christ Jesus. So when I say, God, you know, Pastor Sean, I pray about that, but I've got no peace about that. What I'm saying is that the thing that I really hallow, the thing I really worship, it won't give me peace about that. Whatever I treat as ultimate is the source of my peace. And unless that is giving me peace, nothing else will. So, if my career is the thing that I hallow the most, and the thing I worship the most, I can pray to God all I want about giving me peace about work, but this is what gives me peace. I've put my job in God's spot, and so that is my peace, and until I hallow God instead of that, I'm not going to have any peace. I need to demote that job and that career into the rightful place and elevate God to the ultimate place of worship. Then I can pray about that job that's driving me crazy, and I can have peace. But the first line about what I treat as ultimate and sacred dictates what I think about daily bread. And if I really want peace, and if I really want a resolution to the stress that I'm under, then I need to ask the Lord, God, as I begin to pray, I want to worship you. I want to know you. I want you to be ultimate, and then begin to shape what I understand about the daily bread about my life. Number two is the whole issue of confession. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those, forgive our debtors. Confession, how I see myself. And if I was trying to resolve stress in my petition, then here I'm trying to resolve condemnation and guilt. The things I feel bad about, the things I don't know if I can forgive myself about, the things that I know I've done wrong. I want you to notice Ephesians 1:7. It says, in Jesus we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with our performance. Accordance with the riches of God's grace. I think this is in the Message version as well. Do I have that one? Yeah. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we are free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds. And not just barely free either, abundantly free. You can say amen to that. But then why can't I forgive myself? I talked to a pastor one time about that. He was really insightful, and he referenced this passage. He said, you know, Sean, I used to, you know, as a pastor, I used to always get stumped when people would talk about, you know, yeah, I know they've forgiven me and I know Jesus forgives me, but I can't forgive myself. He said, you know, for years that stumped me until I realized through the Lord's Prayer that they were hallowing something other than the Father and they were seeking forgiveness from something other than the Father. Whatever I treat as ultimate is the source of my forgiveness. And what someone is saying is when they're saying that I can't forgive me, what they're saying is I've got an idol of my in my life and it won't forgive me. So now think about this. I'll give you a silly guy example, and I'll give you a very serious example. All right. You know, I love to play basketball. And I grew up idolizing Michael Jordan and, you know, all the guys who were the man. Right? So what did I want to be on the basketball court? What do I want to be in any sport? I want to be the man. And what does the man do on the court? He always wins. He always hits the last shot. He always bests the best guy. He's the man. So for years, I go play a pickup basketball game that has no significance on anything in all the world, but I failed to be the man during the game, and my whole weekend was ruined. Let's all pray for my wife right now. Lord, please help my wife. It didn't even matter. Nobody, ESPN was not covering my game at Iron Bridge Park. But to me, I could never forgive myself for missing that shot. Why? Because my idol is, you always make it. And my idol wouldn't forgive me, so I can't forgive me. That's a silly example, but unfortunately incredibly practical in many of our lives. Women, now hit the men that you're next to. Say, see? Okay. Now I'll give you a serious one. And this is, I know, a tender subject. You know, I have been in moments where, let's say, and I don't mean to be picking on the guys, but let's just say, you know, a husband's been unfaithful in the marriage, and he sincerely, sincerely repented. And that's a whole nother, we can talk about that for a while, but let's just say it's like, I really am sorry, and let's say the wife forgives him. But who's the only one who can't forgive himself, right? It's like, I just can't forgive me. Why? Well, now, I'm talking in broad strokes here, so let's understand it in that. But what I found out, that a lot of families and a lot of guys have grown up in a culture that did two things simultaneously. They lived in a family that told them to watch every movie and every TV show they ever could watch, which totally gave them, just an incredibly distorted and unhealthy view of sexuality and love. And then at the same time, they never talked about it in their house. And basically, if it ever came up, it was treated like the unpardonable sin. So why can't that guy forgive himself if truly there's repentance, restitution, and reconciliation going on? Why not? It's not that he can't forgive himself. It's his family standard can't forgive him. Now, I'm not saying don't have standards. I'm saying the Bible talks about the seriousness of sin and the beauty of true grace. And why that guy can't forgive himself is because he's violated a standard that he has hallowed above what the Scripture actually says about sin and forgiveness. Now, there's a lot more to that conversation about what healing looks like in a marriage when that happens. But what we can do is we can have a certain twist that we've gotten from an idol that says, no forgiveness. You can't ever forgive yourself for that. And what we need to see, that there is true forgiveness, according to Ephesians 1:7, that needs to be worked out with beauty, grace, and sensitivity, but is absolutely there. You're not just barely free. You're abundantly free. And there's a lot to celebrate there. A lot of future to go there. Now we'll do the last one, which is direction. You know, I always saw this part of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us, you know, lead us not to temptation. Deliver us from evil. What is that? Like God, like, psych, don't go that way. I was kidding. You know, I was like, come this way. No, stop. It's the wrong way. Turn around, you know. It's like, it's all about direction. It's about direction. Direction is how I see my future. And when I'm praying about the fear in my life, it's always about the future. It's always about, is this going to go well? Am I going to make the right decision? If I don't have this much money, if these people don't treat me this way, if I don't get this job, if I don't look this way, or if I don't have this health, or it's always fear about the future. And when we come to God and we ask for direction, Proverbs 14:12 tells us this. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. It's actually twice in Proverbs. And it's the whole idea. I was like, you know what? I'll be tempted to ask God to do things my way. I'll be tempted to not want what's right, but what I want. And so the prayer, lead me not into temptation, deliver me from evil, is, God, I know I'm tempted to go a certain way and make it look like the right way, but deliver me from the evil in my own heart about my choice. Help me to see. And when we choose to put Christ in the hallowed place, when he is the ultimate, then the next verse in Proverbs 4:11 will give us tremendous faith. I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. God's not playing a shell game with you. He's not saying, where do you think your future should go? Up, no. He leads you in straight paths. The only thing I need to do is make sure he is the ultimate source of my direction. And then I can have peace. I cannot look at the future with fear. I can look with faith. And I can pray an overcoming prayer that is filled with power and victory, though I don't have an answer yet. God is able. Now, if that is to the anatomy, if that is the structure of our prayer, and that's not mechanical, that's just organic. That's just, if I don't put God in the right spot, I'm not going to see anything else I'm about to pray with right. But when I do that, then I can begin to pray. But, you know, the first instruction of Matthew 6 is to hallow his name, but it's not the first words. Because we need to remember how we are to worship, how we are to view the one we're worshiping. What are the first words of the Lord's Prayer? Our Father in heaven. Now that's real important. Jesus says, don't pray like this. He doesn't say, okay, start the prayer like this. Our God in heaven. Doesn't say to pray like that. Why? What's a God? A God's like, well, yeah, he's up in heaven, he's almighty, but I better not cross him because I don't even know if he cares about me. Jesus doesn't say, pray our God in heaven. He says, our Father in heaven. He is my heavenly Father who loves and adores me. He doesn't say to pray our Father on earth. May he do what's right. Because earthly fathers are pretty imperfect. He says, look, when you pray, do not worship me as some distant God. Worship me as your Father in heaven. Luke, we won't turn there, but that passage, Luke 9 through 13, what is Jesus? He's saying, ask, seek, knock, pray. And what does he say? If you earthly fathers know how to give good things, how much more does your heavenly Father know how to give you the Holy Spirit, give you blessings and goodness? What are the two verses before the Lord's Prayer? Verse 7, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask of him. Now, I've got four kids, and let's say I take Caleb, my youngest, and let's say I take him to World of Mirth. Any World of Mirth toy store fans here? Okay? I mean, there are a few places I have, like, kids, don't look at this toy. It's not a Christian store. Keep going over here. All right, but that's a really cool store. There's all these fairies. And let's say I bring Caleb into the store. I'm like, Caleb! Look at all this stuff. Look at that construction set, and you can blow things up with this, and, you know, and shoot things with that, and hit things with that. I mean, let's say, and Caleb's like, yeah. I'm like, isn't this cool? Yeah. And isn't that cool? Yeah, yeah. Well, guess what? You're not going to have any of it. I'm going to spend my entire life making sure you don't get anything in this store. Now, let's just think of all the counseling that Caleb's going to need. But now I want you to think about this. If I did that to Caleb, if his dad said to him, I'm going to spend all my life making sure you don't get anything good, how do you think he prays? How do you think he sees the world around him when something starts going good, but it's not finished yet? What do you think he anticipates of that finishing up? Since he knows he's got a father who's working to make sure nothing good happens in his life. How do you think he feels in relationship when someone tries to support him and tries to encourage him to believe for good things? How do you think he treats that relationship? How do you think he hopes for what he needs when he's got a father who says, I'm going to make sure you don't get anything good? How do you think he lives his whole life? Adam and Eve in the garden. Don't listen to him. God doesn't want you to have what's best. The reason you can't have that apple is because God is keeping you from the best things. That's the lie that we are tempted to live even in our Bible-believing life. you know what? I'm going to pray to God, but he's not my Father in heaven. He's some random God in heaven, and he doesn't want me to have anything good. And I can list 5 instances in my life where I asked him to do something good for me and didn't happen. God must not want anything good in my life. Jesus is saying through the Lord's Prayer, don't just worship me, but trust me. Don't go through life and pray to a father you don't trust. Don't go through life and worship a God that you think has told you, I'm going to do everything I can so you don't get anything good in your life. Don't do it. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? You do not have a father who's sitting in the store of life saying, you know what, you need to stop being so trite and want good things. I'm not about giving you good things. That is not the Father in heaven that the Scripture shows by any stretch of the imagination. It's a Father who the Scripture says you can't even ask for or imagine the things God wants to give you. You can't even come up with them in your head. He's so good. But he is a Father. And he is wise, and he happens to be a little older than you, and he's kind of been through a little bit more life than you've been through. And he knows when to give it to you and how. You have a Father in heaven who loves you. Don't worship me like a random God. Worship me like a Father who is always there. My grandparents live in California, and they're 85 or so. And every week after a sermon, they'll hear this podcast. And 2 weeks ago, I called up my grandfather for his 85th birthday. Actually, my grandmother for hers, and I was talking to my grandfather. And my grandfather says the same thing to me every time I get on the phone. He says, Sean, did you feel me praying for you Sunday morning? Because I was praying. Says, you always remember, you never go up on that stage alone. I'm always praying for you. I pray for you every Sunday. I pray for you every week. And I can't tell you in words what that means. Sean, did you feel me? Did you feel me praying for you this Sunday? Did you feel it when you walked up? And then I turned to Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is able to save completely. Talking about Jesus. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. I just wish some of you could get a call from God and you could hear what my grandfather said. Hey, when you went back to that house, did you feel me praying for you? Hey, when you went back to your job, did you feel me praying for you? You didn't go there alone. Hey, when you had to deal with that difficult news, did you feel me praying for you? The Scripture says that through Christ, God intercedes and prays for you every day. He intercedes for you. He is with you. And as much as it goes beyond words to say what I feel when my grandfather calls me and says, Sean, I prayed for you today. Do you know that your Heavenly Father does the same thing for you every day of the week, every moment of the day, every breath you breathe? Start in prayer there and you're going to do okay. Start worshiping that God and you'll see the world the way you need to. And you'll see yourself the way you need to. And you will see your future the way you need to. Think of Lydia over here, and I'm going to... Joe's birthday is tomorrow. Joe's still in Riverside, and we got a few more months left. But you can ask Lydia what perspective she's held on to see her future. And it's been Christ. And Joe is an amazing, amazing example of someone who's following Christ. Can't wait to give him a hug. I could go around this room and Clifton and Penny continue to be praying. And we were even praying that Penny might be strong enough to get to church this morning. And obviously she wasn't up to it. But talked to her last night on the phone, and she, what was her perspective? Where was she praying? What was her future? It was Christ. I want to encourage you today that the stress you feel, and the guilt and condemnation you feel, I mean, obviously the Holy Spirit convicts us of things, but the condemnation, fear you feel, all you got to do is worship, pray. I'm going to ask Brandon to come forward, and I'm going to ask you to do one more thing before we do exactly what we've talked about. I'm going to ask you to look at that prayer request you wrote in the beginning of the sermon. And we're going to take a moment to do the Lord's Prayer the Lord's way. We're not going to start with us. We're going to take a moment and hallow His name. And I want to encourage you, even if your religious tradition is to zone out during worship, to not do it today, but to truly start saying, God, I treat you as the one who is ultimate. I place you in the highest place. And then in a few minutes after we truly hallow His name, then we're going to pray for that prayer request that's on your sheet. But we're not going to pray from our focus. We're going to pray from His. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. Father, I ask now that, Lord, you would help us not to have some information. Father, your Spirit has been strong in this entire service. Lord, let us be strongest at the end. Pour out the best wine at the end of this service. Father, I pray that each person in here, every teenager in here, Father, every newcomer and every veteran would, Lord, we would come to you now with that prayer request, and now we would place it down in our hearts and look to you, and hallowed be thy name. And Lord, as we begin to pray that prayer, and as we begin to worship, pray instead of just pray, would you bring us focus and speak to our hearts? Let's take just a brief moment. Let's worship Him with all that we are. Oh, Father, I pray that the fruits of the Spirit would begin to show up in the prayers that are prayed right now, and that we would begin to believe you for great things, for great answers to prayer, for things we've never believed you for, and for things we've never surrendered to your care. Lord, I ask now in the name of Jesus, as we are hallowing your name, Father, begin to move in us in our petitions, in our confessions, and in the direction we need. I'm going to ask you right now, church, would you begin to pray for those things that are upon your heart, and pray with power this morning. Pray from a seat of worship this morning and allow God to move in the midst. Would you begin to pray now? Thank you, Father. Praise your mighty name. Now, God, Father, begin to pour into our laps more. Lord, press down, shaken together, overflowing, oh God. Father, be the God who heals us. Be our provision. Lord, grant us favor in relationship. Lord, clarity in our futures, O God. Father, may your peace be upon our homes, dear God. Father, may your wisdom be upon our plans, dear God. Father, may you be the ultimate source of our provision, and may finances be in the rightful place as a servant. Lord, would you call those who don't know you to come and know you today, O God. Father, to turn their lives over to you. For Lord, it's not by our own might or power, but it's by your Spirit. Move in us, O God. Lord, reach. Reach the loved one, God. Father, heal that situation, dear Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, may your people pray with Holy Spirit power this morning. May they pray from a throne of worship, and may they see testimonies and begin to receive confirmation of that which you have said. Father, thank you for what you're planting right now. Thank you for what you're working. Thank you that our prayers are joining your ever intercession right now before the throne room of God. Thank you, dear God, that you are more than able, that nothing is impossible for you. God's people, would you pray? God's people, would you begin to lift? Would you allow faith to rise up in you, not based on you, but based on Him who is almighty and powerful, who is the giver of the Spirit? Thank you, Father. We praise, we worship you. You are able to heal the most wounded relationship. You are able to bring healing words and love words instead of hateful words and selfish words. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you give a hope and a future. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask for two things as we continue to pray. Church, I'm going to ask you to be praying diligently right now. I'm going to ask first, teenager, high school student, single, married. I'm going to ask, if you don't know the Lord, today is the day of salvation. If you have not turned your life over to Christ, if you've not accepted Him as Lord and Savior, ask for forgiveness. Christ died for you on the cross. Blood shed for the forgiveness of sin. You might not understand all of that, but the Spirit of God will speak to you right now if you listen. Is there anybody young and old that needs to make that decision for Christ this morning? Anybody young and old need to make that decision? As the Lord moves in you, you may not be a public person, but at the end of service, you can find one of the prayer ministers and make that decision this morning. I'm going to ask if you've got a need in your body this morning, if there's an absolute miraculous healing you need, if there's a healing. I know we want to join. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand this morning. We're going to pray for you. We're going to pray in faith with view of the throne room of heaven. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand high this morning, if you don't mind, because in a moment we're going to have others join you in prayer. Raise your hand high. I'm going to ask church family, if you would find those who have a hand raised around you or maybe even across from you, would you keep those hands high if you'd like prayer this morning? I'm going to ask the church family, would you come around those who pray? We're just going to have a personal family moment. We're just going to be what we said we are, which is a family. We even have a few up here as well. But church family, we're going to believe, and we're going to pray in authority based on what the Scripture says. By His stripes we are healed. God is the God who forgives all of our sins and heals all of our diseases. Psalm 103:3. You may know somebody else who needs prayer this morning. You join me in prayer. Church, let's pray with faith and let's pray with power this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask for healing. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask for the move of your Spirit. Lord, we ask you to confirm your mighty move, your mighty hand, O God. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, that, Lord, you would come right now and place your hand of love upon everyone who's lifted up a hand in prayer right now. And Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would come and minister healing. Lord, not for our own selfishness, not for our own trite comfort, but Lord, that we would be, Lord, focus on you, that you would be our center. We would be no longer distracted. We would stop on patterns of comfort because we feel so bad, but rather you would bring deliverance this day, O God. Bring deliverance this day. Church family, I'm going to ask you to pray. Would you pray right now? Would you ask for deliverance? Would you ask for God's hand to come and begin to move upon these, and may a new authority in your prayers come as you worship the true and the living God. Praise your name. Praise your name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We love you, God. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord. Praise your mighty name. Thank you for healing. Lord, I ask that testimonies of your healing would come forth from these prayers right now. Lord, I pray that people would begin to be stirred up and see the great God that they have. Lord, I ask, dear Lord, that your healing would come and beautiful grace would show up in people's lives. Lord, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, we lift up those who are in need of prayer today. We ask for healing, a mighty healing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the prayers that are being prayed right now. Lord, guide and direct. Let the Spirit of God flow through you this morning. Let Him reveal things He's never revealed. Let Him give you assurance and direction right now for answers in your life. We just love you. We're people of prayer. We have no shame in kneeling before you and lifting our hands and saying, God, we're yours. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Just love you. Praise your mighty name. Thank you, Father. If there's anything else the Lord's leading you to pray for, I just want to encourage you, especially might be with a family member. It'd be great to link hands in prayers this morning and just take a moment and pray. You can stay, pray in the circles you already have. Just anything else the Lord would lead you to. Praise your name. Thank you, Father. We thank you for the decisions that are being made this morning. Thank you, Father. Praise your name. There's certainly prayer ministers already up here. I'm going to invite the other prayer ministers to come forward and be available for prayer. Do not feel hurried in any way. Lord, we finish praying the prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength, my Redeemer. May you go and continue to worship the Lord and worship and pray. God bless you.